From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today he brings the final portion of a message entitled, The Eternal Security of the Saints, an exposition of Romans chapter 8. Paul began the chapter by stating the believer's position. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. His first argument is based on the Christian's justification. Paul's second argument in the chapter concerns our sanctification. There is no condemnation for believers in Christ because God has begun the mighty work of making his people holy. Paul's third argument is the Christian's adoption. Adoption makes believers part of God's family, and no son of God can ever be condemned. These powerful arguments demonstrate that those who trust in Christ are eternally secure. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will conclude this message. First, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text is found in Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 8. In summer and in winter shall it be. The streams of living water which flow from Jerusalem are not dried up by the parching heats of sultry midsummer any more than they were frozen by the cold winds of blustering winter. Rejoice, O my soul, that thou art spared to testify of the faithfulness of the Lord. The seasons change, and thou changest, but thy Lord abides evermore the same, and the streams of his love are as deep, as broad, and as full as ever. The heats of business cares and scorching trials make me need the cooling influences of the river of his grace. I may go at once and drink to the full from the inexhaustible fountain, for in summer and in winter it pours forth its flood. The upper springs are never scanty, and blessed be the name of the Lord, the nether springs cannot fail either. Elijah found Cherith dry up, but Jehovah was still the same God of providence. Job said his brethren were like deceitful brooks, but he found his God an overflowing river of consolation. The Nile is the great confidence of Egypt, but its floods are variable. Our Lord is evermore the same. By turning the course of the Euphrates, Cyrus took the city of Babylon. But no power, human or infernal, can divert the current of divine grace. The tracks of ancient rivers have been found all dry and desolate, but the streams which take their rise on the mountains of divine sovereignty and infinite love shall ever be full to the brim. Generations melt away, but the course of grace is unaltered. The river of God may sing with greater truth than the brook in the poem. Men may come and men may go, but I go on forever. How happy art thou, my soul, to be led beside such still waters! Never wander to other streams, lest thou hear the Lord's rebuke. What hast thou to do in the way of Egypt to drink of the muddy river?
Word have
How often have you passed a church displaying a sign which reads, Revival, during a given set of dates? Yet, how many Christians in this age of megachurches and seeker-sensitive religion have even the faintest idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense? Certainly, the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost, but down through the centuries there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the late 1940s and early 50s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not because of his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of Duncan Campbell's own account of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. There is also a CD containing the personal testimonies of people who were saved during those revival times. Either CD is $5, or you may obtain both for $8, which includes postage and handling. To obtain your own copy, simply send a check for either or both CDs to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You may make your check out to Let the Bible Speak. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. You may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
Thank you. How do you know you're saved? Not that you're taken out of the body. Not that you've no more temptation. No more trouble. But that through the Spirit you mortify the deeds of the body. Yes, there's still a battle there. That body and its deeds need to be put to death. But you know, this is, if I may just repeat what I was doing in chapter 7, you don't put the deeds of the body to death by screwing up your courage and saying, I'm going to do it. One of the saddest interviews I had when I came to Greenville was with a young man who had lived a very, very wild and vicious and wicked life before he professed faith in Christ. And that wicked life and its memories and its physical results followed him into later life and was bidding to wreck everything that he held fair and dear. He had gone to a very senior Christian in the town again and again, and then to another and then to another. And he'd asked them, how do I overcome? And the answer finally came down, just make up your mind and do it. I wonder what Bible they were reading. Just make up your mind and do it. And if that's not a religion of works, I have never had any understanding of works. Paul is saying, the key is the mind of the Spirit. The mind of the Spirit is focused on Christ. It operates by faith. It is trusting Christ. And by trust in Christ, by having the mind intentionally setting everything in focus before Christ, looking at everything through the Lord Jesus. By that method, it will mortify the deeds of the body, and you shall live. Not because you mortify, but because your mortification of the deeds of the body is through the Spirit, and that proves that you are in Christ. This activity of the sanctifying Spirit really is the guarantee of life. Therefore, there's no condemnation. The final thing, and I'll be very brief with this, is verses 14 through 17. And I can be brief here because I can ask you to go and just think of these things. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus because, and I want you to note this as carefully and learn it as fully as you can, those in whom the Holy Spirit works sanctification receive from him the witness that they are God's adopted children, whose inheritance is eternal glory. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit, because those in whom the Holy Spirit works sanctification receive his witness that they are the children of God, adopted unto the inheritance of eternal glory. Note his argument. Believers are led by the Spirit. That's one of those little phrases you, clauses for the grammarians among you. One of the things you read over very simply. But they're led by the Spirit. What does that mean? It means they're no longer under the law. That's what Galatians 5:18 says. If you be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So you're led by the Spirit. You're not under the law. You're under grace. There's no condemnation now because you're under grace. Then all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. There's no condemnation to the sons of God. Let me tell you, there are none of God's sons in hell. That's what Paul's saying. You're the sons of God. Let it sink into you. That's your security. But then he goes even further. As the sons of God, you've received adoption. Therefore, he says in verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And therefore, if we're children, we're heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Now notice this. Here's the sequence. You're led by the Spirit, not under the law, but under grace. You're sons, you're adopted children, you're heirs, you're joint heirs with Christ. Now put all that together. Can the heir of God perish in hell? Can the joint heir of Christ, an equal heir to heaven with Christ, can he be condemned? No. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, because you're sons, adopted, heirs, joint heirs with Christ. It's very likely, I think it's more than likely, it's reaching the level of certainty that Paul was not dealing with the Jewish usage of adoption, but rather the Roman usage of adoption, writing to these believers in Rome. Adoption was a wonderful thing. And this is the fact behind the language here. Very often, adoption meant that a man purchased a slave to make him a son. Isn't that the gospel? Not exactly what the Lord has done with us. One great expert on Roman law described it like this. He said, the adoptee is taken out of his previous state and is placed in a new relationship with his new paterfamilias, that is, his new father in the new family. All his old debts are cancelled. And in effect, he starts a new life. From that time, the paterfamilias owns all the property and acquisitions of the adoptee, controls his personal relationships, and has rights of discipline. That's one side of it. But the other side is that adopted person, that redeemed slave, now is heir to all the wealth of his new father. To us, an inheritance is something that comes through death. And it has something of that connotation in Scripture, but that's not the main connotation. The idea of an inheritance in Scripture is an assured possession. Now this is what Paul is saying. You are God's sons. He has adopted you. You're not a slave anymore. He has adopted you. He's brought you into his family. He's given you his name. He has cancelled all your debts. You've started a new life in this new family. He owns you, body and soul. But he also has given you the assurance of the possession of all that Christ has purchased. I want to tell you, that is eternal security. Can a person who has the assurance from God that he possesses everything in Christ perish in hell? No, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. So here are three of Paul's four great proofs of the proposition of verse 1. And however you look at it, Paul has established that there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. We may suffer together with Christ. The verses that follow next week will trace some of that suffering, but such suffering and affliction don't cancel, don't in any way call in question our security, but they are in order that we may reign with him. But that aspect of the subject we leave till next week. when we look at our glorification. I want you to get this. There is therefore now no condemnation to anyone and everyone who's in Christ. Outside of Christ, there is condemnation. Eternal hell. In Christ, no condemnation. How do you know it? Because God has justified those in Christ. God is sanctifying those in Christ. Understand that? Don't tell me you're justified if you're the sow that returns to the wallowing in the mire and you're never happy unless you're in the filth of sin. Don't tell me you're justified. You know nothing about it. How do you know you're saved? How do you know there's no condemnation? He justified you by faith in Jesus. He sanctifies you by His Spirit. He has adopted you into His family and gives you the assured possession of those slaves whom He has redeemed, to whom He has given His name, and whom He has welcomed to the riches that are in Christ Jesus. Let's bow together in a word of prayer. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, bless thy word to every heart. And all we ask in Jesus' name, that thou wilt use it to make known to every man and woman his or her position regarding Christ, to cause conviction of sin, to create within souls a yearning for the Savior. Lord, we pray tonight that thou wilt bless thy word. We ask thee to save the lost. We ask thee, O God, that thou wilt kindly and graciously deal with the backslider in heart. O Lord, we pray, restore the joy of thy salvation. We look to thee, we give thee thanks for the absolute proofs of the security of the saints. Lord, help us to live in the holiness and happiness of the sons of God, because there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Part us with thy blessing. Grant that thy grace, thy mercy, and thy peace will be our abiding portion, both tonight and evermore. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.